risen. We're going to rehearse that because you're going to need that this morning. If I say, or if anyone says to you, Christ is risen, you will say, Christ is risen indeed. Christ is risen. Are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome right here at First Congregational Church of Westfield. So many have joined us today that we ran out of bulletins. So, if you can share, just raise your bulletin up and Tom or Bob will come and get it. If you can share a bulletin, and then we're going to do another raising of the hands for those who might need one. We'll get that out. While we are doing that, I do have the following announcements. Thank you to Michelle Weiner and the Family Ministries Committee for organizing our hockey night last night. We had a good time. The Thunderbirds did not, but we did. And I got to ride on the Zamboni on there, so I thought that was great. And I wasn't the only one, but I'm the one with the microphone, so... Anyhow, we got to do that. That was great. If you are taking one of the flowers, if you ordered flowers and you're taking them, or if you're taking flowers to someone, before you leave here with the flowers, please see Martha Scavato. She's down here, so please see Martha before you go. Tomorrow, our office is closed because Cindy and I are running in the Boston Marathon. So, I'm lucky I got up the stairs. But our office is closed for Patriots Day and Easter Monday tomorrow. We'll be back on Tuesday. And Tuesday, we have, it's our turn at the community table. So, there are sign-ups if you're able to help us out. Please see the board there. Today, there is no coffee hour after church. We figured people had places that they needed to be. So if you, good luck with all of that, and I hope you all have a wonderful day. Again, it is so wonderful to see so many of you here. Welcome back. Welcome. We're just happy you're here, and we're thrilled. I'd like to say that we can continue this next week right here at 9:30, but we're not going to be here. We're going to join with Southwick Congregational next Sunday at 11 o'clock. So we'll be out at Southwick next week. There'll be no church service here. Are there any other announcements this morning? Then let us worship God.
Good morning, and a very, very happy Easter to everyone. Please join me in the call to worship as found in your worship guide. Run from fear and darkness, hope is on the move.
Run to the world, Christ is risen.
Do not be afraid, Jesus has conquered death. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Very good. Now please join us in the opening hymn found in your blue hymn, number 258, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you.
Please join with me in the prayer of invocation, followed by the Lord's Prayer. This is found in your worship guide. God of grace and power, we come rejoicing in Christ's empty tomb. We come trusting in the good news that tells us Christ is with us. For the risen Christ is living proof that you care about our lives, O God. The risen Christ offers to us glimpses of hope, even in our tears. As the tomb is not quiet, it speaks, it proclaims, it is a promise of eternal life. Hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Our younger folks get their own little time this morning. Normally, they go to church school, but we're not having church school today. So I thought I would do a little bit with you. I don't know whether that's a good thing or not, but we're not having it. Sorry, moms. They're staying here. I am going to go a little secular on you just for a moment. How many got an Easter basket this morning? Or some version of an Easter basket? I got one yesterday. So, one of the things that we talked about, and I remember this one from last year, believe it or not, but last year, we talked about a different kind of Easter basket. And we talked about a spiritual Easter basket. And the things that were in our spiritual Easter basket because of the resurrection event. Because Christ is risen. There you go. You won't forget that, will you? What I want you to think about, though, is what is in our spiritual Easter baskets. We're not talking about peeps or eggs or chocolate or jewelry or something else that may have shown up in your basket this morning. But I want to talk to you about faith. The gift of faith that we are given through that resurrection, through Jesus rising from the dead. Remember last week we had our story, we had our Reader's Theater right up here, and we read the Passion, and Jesus died, and we left it there. Because we knew this day was going to come. And we knew that we could rely on our faith. Another gift that's in that Easter basket, our spiritual Easter basket, hope. So we have faith and hope. We know that we have the hope of living again with Jesus someday. Maybe when our time is done, many, 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 many years from now. But we have that hope. And we have the hope in the followers of Jesus because the last thing in our Easter basket, our spiritual Easter basket, is love. So we have faith, hope, and love in that spiritual Easter basket. The love of God, the love of Jesus. God loved us so much that he gave us Jesus. He shared his son with us. And we get to move on and hopefully share the gifts of our Easter basket. You can keep the peeps, you can keep the jelly beans and the chocolate and the eggs, but what I want you to share, I want you to share the gifts of faith, hope, and love. What were those three gifts again?
Faith,
hope, and love. So I hope that you can share those this day. And not just today, but in the weeks to come. Amen. Let us turn our attention to the Word of God.
Our reading this morning is from the book from the prophet Isaiah. Listen for the Word of God. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the covering that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "See, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
And now please join me in the responsive reading taken from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation.
There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that builders rejected.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. That God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the ordained one by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Our God is still speaking. Our gospel this morning comes to us from the gospel according to Luke. But on the first day at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This Easter Sunday, I invite you to join us in a responsive hymn, "The Strife is Over," in our blue hymnal number 257.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
It was the morning after Sabbath during Passover. So many things had happened. Their heads were still swimming, and their hearts were very much still broken. We didn't even have time to finish with the anointing of his body, one said. I wonder how we're going to move the stone that Pilate ordered to be put there, said another. You'd think that these were the words of Jesus' apostles, but they were not. You see, the men, the apostles, were hiding in fear of not only the Romans, but the Jewish leaders as well. They were petrified that the Jewish leaders would come for them next and turn them over to the Romans. Crucifixion was a gory thing, and they couldn't shake the images of their Lord being up there, let alone what they did to him beforehand. Now, they were there from the moment the temple guards arrested Jesus, bound him, and handed him over to the Sanhedrin. It was even too horrible to think about, let alone that the same things could happen to them. So they hid in the room where they had their last meal with Jesus. We know now that it wasn't the men who were going to the tomb where Jesus lay. Somehow, the women, those who loved Jesus, mustered up the courage to go to the tomb. However, they found the stone had been rolled away, and as they investigated inside, discovered that the body of Jesus was not there. And as incredible as it seemed, upon hearing from the two men in dazzling white, they ran off with some good news in the midst of everything so horrific. And so they shared this news. Again, we read Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others. They shared it with the apostles themselves, the 11 men who remained so steadfastly faithful and supportive of Jesus' ministry. And in a move truly ancient and modern, the men, resting inside, dour in their thoughts, no longer mourning at the tomb, doubted the good news as an idle tale. An idle tale told by the women who walked with Jesus in ministry and in life. An idle tale related by people who knew Jesus just as well as they did. An idle tale for those mired in doubt and for those hesitant to recognize that miracles and good news can emerge even after the worst of the good news. But the apostles, in their grief, failed to see, failed to believe the commentary of their peers, doing so possibly to their own detriment. They labeled the good news as idle talk until, that is, one of their own went to investigate. So, what is an idle tale or idle talk? Idle tales, when I looked this up, are stories or conversations that are considered meaningless, unimportant, or foolish. Some people will automatically label things as an idle tale simply because they cannot comprehend what is being said. So in this case, the term was used for a variety of reasons. The first being, and I'm rather embarrassed to say this, but the first being is that women were the ones coming forward with the news. Women were to be seen and not heard, and certainly not to be involved in dangerous things. However, to whom did Jesus first appear and tell? The women. In all four Gospels, they list the women as the first ones to know or speak to the risen Christ. The fact that each account involves women gives credibility to the accounts, believe it or not, especially when it could have been so easy for them not to mention the women at all. But the repetition was so strong and detailed that it had to be included. Idle tale indeed, yeah. Another reason that the resurrection event could be considered an idle tale is that it was and is, on many levels, so difficult to explain. I can only imagine the looks on their faces when they heard the body was gone and that the risen Christ had appeared to the women. After all, this is why Pilate had placed a large stone as well as a guard at the tomb. Well, in Matthew's account, anyway. If the incredulous was not enough, then imagine their response when they realized that the Romans or temple leaders may have held them responsible for taking the body and thus faking the resurrection. Perhaps that is why Peter ran out for his own view. Or did he remember the words of Jesus that he would rise again on the third day? My sisters and brothers, my siblings in Christ, clearly, this is not an idle tale. As much as we love Christmas and everything that goes with it, the pinnacle of our faith is the resurrection. It's the resurrection. The Christmas story would mean nothing without the death and resurrection of the Lord. The resurrection event is something that needs to be told time and time again. Easter brings us from darkness to light and from death to new life. We have to be more than amazed at what happened and stay home. We have to use the model of Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women to unabashedly tell others that Christ has smashed the prison bars of death. We are called to live out this thing that we have, this faith that we possess, and let the new light and new life be seen and celebrated. We have to do this not only in words, but also in actions, even in the face of ridicule, lest some Pharisees or Sadducees take issue with us living out the gospel message. Some may even look at it as an idle tale. If they do, or if they try to drown you out with tales of their own, just look and point to the empty tomb as your proof. In the meantime, I hope all will certainly enjoy a 50-day feast given to us by the liturgical calendar. It's okay. We get to celebrate. We are called to party. We are called to rejoice in Jesus risen from the dead. Alleluia.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen. Let's take just a moment of quiet reflection.
this morning. We are ever mindful of our prayer requests that are listed in our joys and concerns in our bulletin. We certainly pray for our world, for the many issues happening around. We pray for our country. We pray for our local areas as well. We pray for those people who, as followers of the risen Christ, put their faith into action and don't listen to what others have to say against them. Please pray with me. Risen Lord, hear our cry for help. For those surrounded by the shroud of death, for those covered by the mantle of dying, for those hemmed in by illness, visible or veiled, hear our cry for help. For those weighed down with worries, for those carrying the burden of distress, for those overwhelmed by isolation, hear our cry for help. For those who are weary, for those who are tattered and worn, for those who collapse from exhaustion, hear, O God, our cry for help. Risen Lord, hear our cry of thanksgiving for the graciousness with which you hear, for the patience with which you listen, for the grace with which you care. Hear our cry of thanksgiving. For the ways you accompany us through deep valleys, for the ways you lead us to still meadows, for the ways you provide all we need, loving God, risen Lord, hear our cry of thanksgiving. For transforming death in resurrection life, for blessing and breaking ordinary bread, for opening our eyes to recognize you. Hear our cry of thanksgiving, O risen Lord. For Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Amen. As a resurrection people, every moment offers us an opportunity to divest from the power of death and invest in the power of new life. How are you being called in this moment to use whatever resources you have to build up a new world of flourishing for all? You are invited to bring your life-affirming, resurrecting intentions to this offering, so that we might roll away every stone that keeps us from spreading the good news of Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. Our morning offering will now be received.
Thank you.
spiritual gifts and financial gifts as a sign of our love for you and the world. We ask a special blessing on these gifts, where you meet us in our suffering and raise us up so that they may come to know of your abiding love. O God, we give these gifts as you have given them unto us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.